But what the fuck's with George Bush called himself a Christian, then bombing all those Iraqi civilians? Could we use less than 8 years of that shit? If Jesus was around to settle the score, you really think that he'd be down with preemptive war? We got Christians voting Republican? What the fuck? And what's with Kate and Ashley Olsen? That Heath Ledger wishes they were a bit more wholesome. What, too soon? And what's with priests?
So, yeah, that was Derek singing Hey God.
Yes.
That was...
with a question mark.
With a question mark, of course. You don't want to get it confused with... Who is it?
The Bon Jovi, and I think Alanis Morissette has a song called Hey God, too. Oh, I don't know. But I would have to completely change the song to change it now, so it's Hey God, that's what it is.
Hey God, question mark.
Question mark.
And, yeah, it's hilarious. I love it. You're going to come up with a studio version, though, and some animation along with that, right?
Yeah, yeah. And there's going to be an animation going along with that. And, yeah, I took that song and... sent it to Toronto and coincidentally got signed by Yuck Yucks the next day.
Was it this week that you did?
Yeah. It was like the following day after I sent the clips of that song to Toronto.
Yeah, that's awesome, man.
Yeah, I'm a Yuck Yucks man now, part of the team.
So what does that mean then? Then they send you out on tours then? Or?
Yeah, eventually. I don't really know when that's going to happen, but I'll definitely be working the Calgary and Edmonton clubs a lot now, so...
Going out to Toronto sometimes as well? Or?
Yeah, let's hope so. I mean, I'm not going to ask for too much right off the bat, right? But
yeah.
But yeah, something like next year, I'll definitely start bringing it up about, hey, can I do a week out east somewhere, you know? And
who's doing the animation for the song?
It's not going to be animated. It's going to be just like clips of song of images. Like,
oh,
so
I see.
So I'm putting it together myself. I'm going to do a quick flash animation.
Oh,
so
okay, I see.
It's going to be just a bunch of mostly image like pictures, but I'm going to put in some animation and cartoon with my limited experience.
Are you going to get any like good footage of you on stage? There is a clip, actually.
Yeah.
Isn't there a YouTube clip?
Yeah, no, it's a YouTube clip. You can find it on my Twitter. And
okay, yeah, for sure. We'll link that.
We didn't even intro the show.
I guess we should do that. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Welcome to our episode three.
I guess we could call this 3.5. We recorded an episode in my basement last week, but as always, some stuff kind of fucked up and whatnot. So we'll call this 3.5. And this is Stuck in the Middle of Somewhere, and I'm Joel F. Gardner, and I'm here with my buddy Derek Sweet.
Derek Sweet. Yeah. So.
So also last week, a big issue. I know for a lot of gamers out there, it started off with Penny Arcade and it started off with THQ. Releasing some news about how they're going to start battling the used gaming market.
Which we didn't know that the used game market needed to be battled. Right.
Not at all. Yeah, we were not aware there was a war going on. tell them what THQ is doing, Derek.
They said that they're going to put a code with that comes out with the new copies of the game that can only be used once that... I don't know. We should have really figured out what it was. Either activates online mode or allows features of online mode to be available.
Yeah, from what I understand, it's multiplayer mode is only available if you have this code. But I could be wrong. Are you looking that shit up right now? It's probably a good idea. But so after that, Penny Arcade wrote a comic about it, and in full support of THQ and other gaming publishers that are trying to stop the sale of used games, which really baffles my mind, man. I was kind of shocked when first of all, they're quite insulting. to a lot of gamers. And no offense to Penny Arcade. I mean, I love a lot of their shit, but really came off as being super arrogant, man. And just, you know, how they portrayed the gamer in their comic, like just like an illiterate moron. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I know exactly what you mean. When I first read that, I saw what they were, what they were saying. I'm like, I felt that their character of gamers, and I don't know if they were trying to say all gamers are basically anybody that buys you. Well, they're saying anybody that thinks that they're owed something by THQ when they buy used games. They were just trying to make the distinction that from a publisher's perspective, you're the same thing as a pirate. You're getting the game and you didn't pay for it.
Yeah.
But it's retarded because you have to give up that game to get the money to get another new game, which is, like you pointed out, is probably what you spent the money on.
Exactly. Like a lot of people, the end point of the comic, he says, so it's a parallel market, which is not true at all. Sorry. Which is not true at all. Like, they coexist in many ways, you know? Like, a lot of people wouldn't buy new games if they weren't able to trade in their used ones and get money in order to put towards that new game. They just wouldn't have the cash to even do it, you know? Like,
yeah, there's some people some kids that they get one game a year sometimes. One or two games a year,
because that's like all they can afford. Like, who can afford, like, $140 every couple of weeks for a brand new game? You know, and not a lot of people.
Yeah, no, it's true. And it's not like this, like, used games is, like, used materials is isolated to the gaming market. I mean, there's used bookstores.
Used cars. And used he even DVDs. Makes that point, too. And he says that, oh, they're trying to battle the new whatever market is trying to battle. And that's not true at all. Like, a lot of them coexist in many ways. Like a car dealership. My dad is a new car manager at a dealership here in town. And they have a used lot right on the same premises, you know, and they're constantly doing business with each other all day long.
Yeah.
Like I said, people trade in old cars and use that money in order to get a new car.
Yeah.
And if they weren't able to do that, then they just couldn't get a new car. So then everybody loses, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I always kind of felt like I was getting ripped off once a bit with used games because they give you like $20 and then sell it for $45. And I'm like, what the hell is that? But you got to think about the risk they're taking. They're buying that game. And man, I got to say at least 50% of those used games never get sold.
I don't really have a problem with EB or GameStop making money off of used games. I mean, they got to stay in business just like everybody else, you know? And
yeah.
And one point is, if you don't want people trading in your games, just make it so they don't suck.
Yeah, make a game that nobody wants to trade. How about that?
Yeah, like, I have plenty of games where I don't even think about trading. You know, Batman Arkham Asylum.
Never would trade that.
BioShocks. Like, Dead Rising, BioShocks. Like, so many games that I would never trade in, you know?
Yeah, I would say that's the best way to combat the used game market. If you want to fight the used game market, make good games.
And another point is, why is the video game industry one that doesn't necessarily work on supply and demand? Why is, like, 99% of new games $69, you know, $70?
Yeah, it's weird, actually. Since we talked about that on the phone, I checked it out. And the prices do vary a bit. Like, let's look at EBGames.com.
It can't be that much.
It's between $60 and $70.
Between $60 and $70. Yeah. I mean, still, that's not that big of a difference. If you got $60, you could probably gather up $70.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Trade in a game and get that extra $10.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But what I'm saying is that it's, you know, not every pair of new jeans is $100 or, well, 90 to $100, you know?
They're almost always 60, but Kanan Lynch is down to 50 now.
Brand new.
Yeah, brand new. Kanan Lynch 2, Dog Days 50, American. So it's down.
Yeah, and it hasn't been out very, very long
yet. Yeah, and that's because it's not reviewing well.
And that's because it's
well,
not very good, man.
Well, I don't know. I'm not going to say that yet. Because a lot of the same people that are saying it's not good now say the first one sucked, and I love the first one. Well, I went back and played the first one, and it actually kind of sucks. they were definitely onto a better track with Hitman. They shouldn't have left the Hitman route. They should have stayed with that and made that better, I think, than try and go this action
Hitman,
route.
Yeah. That's another franchise I never played, and I tried to go back and play it a couple months ago, and it just wasn't happening for me.
Yeah, I bet you I wouldn't like it as much.
Just because it's old,
but,
man. I mean, and the concept is clunky and whatnot. But the concept was awesome.
Here's
yeah.
your setting. Go figure out how to assassinate your target. That's
exactly
awesome.
That was wicked.
Yeah. No. Don't lead you around by the nose. I love how there was one level you can kill the guy by shooting, going way down into the river below, and you shoot out the glass bottom of the hot tub, and it kills everybody in the hot tub.
Yeah.
Sean told me about that. Sean's figured out every way to kill all these different targets.
Oh, I imagine so. Yeah.
Our buddy Sean, he's a musician. Maybe we'll play some of his music sometime.
Yeah, maybe it'd be better. Shit.
All right, so Dead Rising 2.
Yeah, Dead Rising 2 came out this well. Dead Rising 2 Case Zero came out this week. It's the prologue to Dead Rising 2.
So awesome.
And we've been waiting for this game forever, man. We're huge fans of Dead Rising, and we couldn't wait for this to come out. And we finally got our chance to play it and finish it. Well, I finished it earlier today. And what did you think, Derek?
I'm happy with it. It reminded me how awesome Dead Rising is. I'm not saying Dead Rising is perfect, but no one's ever made a game like it. And it's a totally unique experience. Like, the time-based gameplay and the rescuing and... I just love the universe too. Like, when that boss comes out, you realize just how
I totally forgot about it until the boss at the end breaks out, and I'm just like, yes,
it's
yes,
just over the top,
dude.
And it's like everyone's losing their mind, and there's these superhero. They're like, none of the bosses are zombies; they're all people that
just
have gone crazy.
Psychos, yeah,
that's wicked. Eh?
Well, they're called psychos, I guess. When you kill them, they're called psychos. So.
And when I first started playing it, Kelsey, my girlfriend, she was asking, you know, why is this hard? They're just on, they barely move. You can just walk up and slaughter them. I'm like, hey, it's figuring out how to get through a thousand of them. Like, you can take down 10, yeah, but you run out of ammo.
Yeah, very quickly, like, too. That's why you got to stock up on those spike bats. Speaking of which, the combos,
combo
the new
system.
Combo weapons, man.
So wicked.
How many did you figure out right away? I actually had to, there was a few I didn't figure out until I actually got the weapon.
Bat and nails, I figured out. Propane and nails, I figured out.
Oh, I didn't figure out the propane and nails until I actually got it.
And then,
I got the drill bucket.
I didn't figure that out.
I got the drill bucket, yeah.
How did you figure that out?
Just fluke.
What does the drill bucket do anyways?
You just put it on one zombie's head and it like drills his head and crushes his brains into nothing and chews him up. And then it drops on the ground and you can pick it up and use it on another one.
Nice.
But it's not a very effective weapon.
No. Well, Dead Rising's not about effective as much as it is about... over, like, going over the top, and
yeah,
that sounds exactly like an over the top Dead Rising.
Oh, dude, but the propane, when you stick it in the back and then blow it up, did you ever do that?
No,
you didn't blow it up.
No,
oh man, that was awesome.
When
you get the propane tank with the nails and you stick it in the zombie's back, like when you hold X down and with the power.
Oh,
power
I was just chucking the propane tank and shooting it because I thought the nails spread out. And I think the nails do fly out and kill everybody.
Yeah, you could stick it into a zombie man and then shoot it.
Nice.
Yeah, it's pretty wicked.
Yeah, this is exactly why Dead Rising is fun, because you come up with innovative ways to kill zombies. And
well, let's talk about the negatives, though, man, that I was still disappointed on, man. Like, yeah, inventory management, terrible.
Yeah.
The load times.
The load times were unbelievable in this.
Unbelievable.
Hopefully the game
doesn't
suffer from
that. Especially the start, dude.
Yeah.
And I really hate the going back to the safe house. Like, it was annoying.
Really?
I was too afraid to test. Like, you know how you go into the safe house, then you come back and everything's kind of reset?
Yeah.
I was afraid to test because my theory was to go grab all the bike parts, come back, leave them outside the safe house, and then just take them in one by one. But I was so afraid that if I went into the safe house and came back, all those bike parts would be gone.
Really?
Yeah. I never tested out the theory, but I'd be interested... didn't know if that's true or not.
Just
because the game didn't feel safe and actually...
This is a game way too specific. We need, you know, because anybody that hasn't played it has no idea what we're talking about.
Who cares, dude?
Okay. I'm just saying, okay.
Well, we got to talk about the bugs. We can't say just like the pros about it. The bugs about the game. It was still a buggy game, dude. It crashed twice. on our buddy Erickson.
Wow.
And I kind of had that feeling too when I was playing it. When I was like, oh man, like when I go into the safe house, I don't know, there was a couple times where it didn't feel safe, you know, like
the safe house didn't feel safe,
which is really weird. But
so I don't get it. You came in, you had no option but to put the bike parts on the bike and leave. You couldn't do anything else if you were carrying one bike part. So what were you worried about? You had to take the bike part back to the safe house. Did you leave them outside the door?
I was worried that because I wanted to have a buildup of them. Because it took so much time with the loading times. Because every time you go into the safe house, it loads for like 20, 30 seconds.
Yeah.
So, and I didn't want to do that right away. So I just kind of wanted to grab all the bike parts and leave them right outside the safe house door. And then by the time I had them all, just go in, take one out, come back out, go in, take one out.
But you'd have to go through one at a time through that door, which had all the load times.
I know, but I just wanted to combine all the load times into one annoying time slot instead of like, okay, God, waiting 20 seconds here.
Wow, you did that. You played the game in a crazy way. That's interesting. But anyways, yeah.
Another bug that I had was the sound cut out on me. On the 3-end cutscenes, there was no sound.
I didn't experience any actual bugs at all.
You didn't experience any, eh?
No, nothing like that, like sound cutting out or crashing. I didn't have any of that happen to me, but that, you know, it is Xbox.
Yeah. Having said that, I mean, with the new, there were enough improvements in this game for me.
Yeah, that's just a little demo, too. The final
and
game.
Yeah, exactly. It is going to be a lot better than that as well.
Yeah.
And multiplayer, once we get into the multiplayer.
What's the multiplayer?
When you get to play together, dude. Fucking killing zombies together.
It's co-op?
It's co-op shit.
I didn't know that.
Oh, man. It's going to be awesome. Can't wait to do that.
That's going to be fun.
So what's next? I also finished Shank.
How's that?
It's not bad, man. I mean, it's... The boss battles are incredibly easy. You know, like once you figure out the pattern, which only takes about like 5 to 10 seconds to figure out, it's just like, poof, no problem.
Yeah, that's how I felt that first boss. I couldn't believe how easy it was.
Yeah, and all the bosses are kind of like that. And, you know, it's just like a hack and slash, but I love the style. I love the music. It kind of has that like spaghetti western kind of feel to it,
yeah, cool.
Which was awesome. And it's just ultra violent. Just some crazy shit happens in it, which is really cool.
Nice. Yeah, looks fun. It
has some replay value, you know, when you get into unlocking all the costumes and whatnot, if you're into that, and if you're a completionist like myself. You know, so it wasn't bad, man. Worth the 1,200 points? 800, it would have been better, maybe.
Yeah,
but
I think if I see it drop down to 800, I'd buy it for sure.
Yeah, for sure. You also picked up Mafia 2. Mafia 2 was an example that I had before in terms of the used games versus new games battle, when I said that not all games are worth $70, and Mafia 2, which is a 10-hour campaign, I was going to argue was not worth $70, and that I would probably buy it used when it came out for $50 or whatever. But yeah. You actually went out and picked it up?
Yeah, I went and picked it up. I got kind of roped into the idea that I should buy a game to celebrate the Yuck signing, so that's the one that I got. And it's just like the demo was. It's extremely realistic and awesome and 50s feeling throughout. But and it's fun, and the story's really the direction is actually really interesting. That's one thing I noticed, is like the camera angles chosen and the way they're telling the stories in the cutscenes. I'm like, kind of feels like more of a movie. They did a great job that way. But my favorite thing about the game, which is just weird that this is my favorite thing, is the cars and the car management. Because you get cars, and you can personalize your cars, kind of. You can color them the way that you want and customize your license plate and stuff like that, and put your license plate. But
customization. License plates.
Every day, you're taking out your car, and you got to bring it back to the garage, you know, and you kind of care about your car, and damaging it. You don't want to damage it because it's expensive to repair.
Okay.
So it's kind of like if you want to keep your car looking nice and keeping your car going, and get this, you got to keep it filled up on gas.
No way. You got to stop at gas stations.
You
got
to stop at gas stations and fill it up. So it's kind of like you get a personalized relationship with your car.
It sounds like there's a lot of driving, dude.
There is, yeah. It's, it's just, it is a lot of story and atmosphere, and the weather changes a lot. So the whole city starts to look different. And
I kind of felt like that when I played the demo when I was driving. I had that feeling of wanting to like follow the rules of the road and like actually take it slow and not do like a GTA style and just hammer my way through traffic.
Unless you want to be like GTA and just steal a new car all the time, you're not going to drive like crazy because you don't want to damage your car.
It seems like a more of a world that you want to immerse yourself in, though, and actually take it more seriously.
Yeah, it is. As for story, I shouldn't say the story is so brilliant. It's brilliantly told, but it's falling back on a lot of known premises, gangster premises. Like, the movie starts out where your father gets... The whole game starts out with your father gets your family in debt, and you try and get your mother and your sister out of debt, and you can't do an honest job, so you have to go to the mob. I mean, that's the plot of Johnny Dangerously, for Christ's sake. That old 80s movie, it's like, that is... And that was a hack comedy about the gangster stereotype, right?
That was
the plot of Johnny Dangerously. So I was like watching that, I'm like, wow, they didn't try too hard on this instead of making an original story, but oh well.
So worth $70?
No, it's not.
Yeah,
if it's 10 hours, I'm not finished it yet. I shouldn't say that, I'm not done yet. Maybe by the end I'll go, holy crap, yeah, no, the story, it got so good that
I had the chance. There's a new in-depth multiplayer video that came out for Black Ops, and I think it was episode number one of our podcast. I mentioned how I was not interested in this game whatsoever, and to me, it just looked like another Call of Duty. And I have to take everything I said back, because holy shit, this game looks fucking cool, man.
Not everything. There's still killstreak crap. Like,
there still is, but
I'm
hoping...
There are game modes that don't have it.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. There are game modes that don't have it, man. Exactly, yeah. Which I love.
Sticks and Stones mode and that gun game where every changes between guns. You start out with pistol and then everybody's got a machine gun. And then that sounds
wager
so...
Wager mode.
The wager mode,
games, dude. You're where you can wager, because now in the game there's like currency and whatnot, and you can like, and when you go up a level, instead of just like, you know, unlocking this feature or whatever, you now unlock features, and then within those features you buy whatever, you know.
Yeah, you choose your path rather than being given to
with this money that you earn throughout doing like contracts in the game and whatnot.
And you can focus on one weapon, which I love, because I'm a total one weapon guy. I find a weapon I love and I usually stick with that and don't change rules.
Yeah, yeah. Theater mode.
Yeah, that looked cool.
Which looked wicked, dude. You can like replay your whole match, man.
Halo's had that forever, though. That's
fuck Halo.
I'm just saying, it's nothing new. It's nothing new.
It's nothing new, but it is for Call of Duty, man. And and to have that in a multiplayer match, when, you know, just to learn, it's such a learning tool, you know, like such a wicked learning tool.
Yeah.
It's such an awesome machinima making tool as well.
Yeah, like, totally.
The machinima we're going to be able to make with that stuff is going to be crazy.
Yeah, Pure Outage would have been a lot easier to make back in the day if you
guys
had that.
Oh, Jesus, no kidding, man. No kidding. Another interesting feature they had was the combat training, about how they're trying to bring in mainly single player campaign player gamers, you know, like gamers that just buy and usually just play the campaign and never really try out the multiplayer.
Yeah, it's interesting that I didn't how high that number of players is, because apparently in StarCraft, as an example, 75% of people that played StarCraft 1 never touched the multiplayer button.
Because it is intimidating, man. Like, I must admit, like, back in the day when my first game online, even still, like, when I first play my first match of any online FPS, I'm still a little nervous, you know? You get the jitters, and it's kind of... you know,
I still haven't played an actual ranked match in StarCraft 2. I'm just playing AI opponents, which is what this combat training is.
Yeah. And again, it's wicked for even guys that do play a lot of multiplayer, because they can learn maps, you know, and like learn different weapons that way.
I love that rocket that they were using in that. The rocket that you can
control and whatnot.
That's going to be fun, man. That's going to be fun to use to like go off and say, oh, there's a guy. That's going to be wicked.
Oh, and another game that I wouldn't mind talking about, you know, another game that we haven't played, but we're going to side the trash right now, just like Black Ops in the first episode.
We'll have another take back next week.
Is Metroid M.
Yeah, Metroid M, neither of us ended up getting it.
Yeah, and because of a lot of, from what I read, were bad reviews.
Yeah, the first-person mode shooting apparently sucked, but I don't think you'd use that very often, so I wasn't too concerned about that. I was mostly concerned about these 15-minute cutscenes that I hear about that rely heavily on Japanese, traditional Japanese imagery. It's what I figured out. I used to always think that Japanese games were childish and goofy,
yeah.
But it just turns out that they have cultural references that we don't have, and I just don't get it, right? Like, if somebody in our society, in our culture, talks about a rabbit going down the rabbit hole, we know what that means because we were familiar with the Alice in Wonderland concept,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I think they have a whole bunch of cultural references that we just aren't familiar with, and it comes off sounding. But anyway, so the translation I heard wasn't great, and also I heard that it just relied heavily on Japanese cultural references, and I don't know if it's true.
Stuff that just wouldn't translate well over here.
Yeah. So, yeah, somebody tell us if you really liked Metroid M, let us know. I'd like to hear why.
I'd like to hear why, too, yeah. Just the sound of 15-minute cutscenes alone just turns me off. I don't give a shit how good they are, man. Mm-hmm. Like, I really don't want to... That was one thing with Metal Gear, man, that really turned me off was the super long cutscenes that, you know, I get bored easily. Like if I'm sitting down to play a video game, I want to play a video game.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to watch a movie.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Cutscenes should always be figure out how to tell the story in the game, like Batman
exactly.
did and stuff.
Yeah,
right?
Like Batman did exactly. Yeah. Yeah, it was great.
Batman had cutscenes, but I mean, most of the story was told through the game itself.
Yeah.
And that's the best way to do it.
Yeah, I agree. So there were some UFC fights last week. That I want to talk about. I don't know. You're not the biggest UFC fan or MMA
total,
fan, are you?
I'm a total like tag along sports fan in general. I love hockey when I'm with other hockey fans. You know,
yeah,
basketball is
yeah.
the only thing I watch by myself. But I just love being in group environments with a bunch of guys watching any sporting event. UFC is one of them. If all the guys are getting together to watch it, yeah, I'll be there. But I would never just watch it on my own. Yeah.
Yeah, it was an alright card, but turned out to be just kind of so-so. BJ Penn got worked over by Freddie Edgar, and that was amazing to see. I mean, nothing too exciting. I mean, no big like knockouts, real big submissions, but it was still amazing what he was able to do to a guy like BJ who is like a legend in the sport, supposedly, and whatnot. And this kid looked just as fresh in the last minute of the fifth round as he did in the first minute of the fight.
Nice.
Like his endurance is incredible, man. So that was pretty cool to see. And another thing that was kind of funny was James Lights Out Tony, this boxer that was talking trash about mixed martial arts, and came in running his mouth about how it's just a bunch of guys like hugging on the ground and whatnot, and
oh yeah, yeah,
just for pussies.
And so, what happened with that guy?
Well, he got taken down with a simple one leg takedown by Randy Couture in about the first 10 seconds, and then he just pounded on him and pounded on him and pounded on him until he finally choked him out with a arm triangle.
Wow!
And it was embarrassing, and Dana White says he's done with boxers because they allowed a boxer back in the day. They allowed some boxer to come in and run his mouth, and then he got worked over, and this was the second time. And he says he's done doing that. But, I hope he is, because it's kind of – I hate these – I don't want to see the UFC turn into a sideshow, which is like – what it is when guys like that come in, you know, like that's just a sideshow match. Like he's a clown, you know, it's like he just got worked over. And same with Kimbo Slice. Kimbo Slice was the same thing. This backyard brawler comes in and he just got worked over in every match. He looks silly. I thought, man, like he was nothing, and I don't think he deserved to be there at all. And I really hope he doesn't allow that kind of shit to continue. But you know, other than that, Nate Diaz had a wicked fight as always, and he's pretty impressive. But this kind of leads into a topic I wouldn't mind talking about, and that's this talk about banning MMA in Canada.
Yeah, apparently it's banned in half the provinces, the ones that don't have it. But
well, like provinces like Saskatchewan and Newfoundland, and you know, provinces that will never stand a chance of actually getting an event anyway. You know what I mean? But
they're banning just all for money MMA fights completely. So
yeah.
Which is weird. It's okay recreationally, but not for money.
But not for money, yeah. That's kind of weird. But which is also weird is that Ontario just lifted the ban, you know. Lifted the ban August 14th, and now these doctors, this association of doctors, is now calling for the ban countrywide, nationwide. This is like August 23rd or something. This came out, this report. Supposedly somebody died, man. Or something. I didn't actually. This was like some. This must have been some amateur fighter. I didn't actually read too much about this guy dying, but apparently some guy died. But
just in principle, I don't think we should mandate what people. I think the government doesn't have any.
How is it any safer than boxing, man? How is it any safer? Or how is it any worse than boxing, I should say? It's much safer than boxing, is what my point was.
Yeah, boxing's all about hits to the head. And MMA at least is
constantly for like 10 rounds. It's just nothing but knocks to the head, man. How? Listen to a boxer when he's like, listen to a guy like James Toney. The guy can barely fucking speak, man. Muhammad Ali, you know, these guys like barely talk anymore because they've been, their brains have been knocked around in their head for so many times, you know?
Yeah.
But, Kai, look at a guy like Randy Couture. He's been doing it for how many years, and he's very intelligent, you know, and very articulate and can speak.
Well, it took those boxers until they were like 60 or so before it happened, though, right? So, didn't it?
Not all of them.
No?
Oh, shit. Have you heard James Toney talk, man? Well, I don't know. Is he 60? I don't think he's 60.
Yeah, but the real point is that the government has no right to be stepping in and telling people that they can't take hits to the head if they want to. It's their right.
They're grown men. They can make their own.
Well, they're saying
every sport has a chance of injury or death, man. You can't. Yeah. Why is MMA any different?
Wrestling is fake, and somebody died in that.
Sports entertainment, yeah.
And somebody hit. Who died? What was his name again?
Owen. What do you Owen mean? Hart? Who fucking died? I'm Owen Hart, man.
Hey, I forgot.
Well, he's a Calgary boy.
I said Owen. I knew his first name.
And yeah, well, getting back to the banning, there's supposedly some doctors after the Vancouver fight deemed it to be too dangerous of a sport and too violent and vicious. And I think it's ridiculous. It's much safer than boxing. I mean,
yeah, I wish we could have got my brother on here to talk about it. He was like a doctor for the UFC.
He was, yeah, he was at that match. He was ringside doctor, was he not?
Yeah, apparently he was too busy.
He's
to
too
do
busy.
It's bullshit.
Jerk. Fucking jerk.
Fucking Dave. I hope you're listening.
He's not even going to listen to this, yeah, so I'm going to slag him all you want.
But he's like a rock star in Vancouver now, apparently.
Dave Sweet the Doctor.
Yeah. He's got like this penthouse suite that's got DJ tables built into it. When he has parties, there's bouncers at the door.
I've seen some of his videos. They look pretty crazy.
Yeah, no, yeah. Apparently he's like a Vancouver socialite. He's like the Paris Hilton of Vancouver.
No, Dave, you'd probably love that title, too.
Oh, dude, he loves Paris Hilton. For some reason, he's into girls that look like transvestites, I guess. I don't...
seen a... Yeah.
He's my brother. I can say this shit. But anyway, so, yeah, there was good news in the PP camp this week.
Yes, that's true. We got... Pionic got nominated for 3 Gemini Awards. Best writing in a comedy, best comedy series, and best direction for episode number 6. And for those of you that don't know, the Geminis are kind of like the equivalent of the Emmys here in Canada. I guess you could say they're like the TV awards for all of Canada.
yeah,
and whatnot. And it was a huge gesture towards us, and like not very many television series of our caliber get nominated. Yeah. Caliber meaning like such a low budget show, you know, get nominated, especially for three awards. So it's a huge thing for us, and hopefully that bodes well in terms of getting a season two. I don't see how it couldn't, you know.
Yeah, it'll definitely make Showtime?
Showcase.
Showcase, sorry. It'll definitely make Showcase. I always get Showtime and Showcase mixed up. It'll definitely make Showcase look retarded if they don't have a season two.
I don't know. It still comes down to a lot of other factors, you know. I mean, nominations are one thing, but, you know, viewers is ultimately what it really comes down to.
Yeah, well, they keep...
And I'm not saying Fear Owners doesn't get the viewers, it just, you know...
You're right. You're saying that they're businessmen that have to make business decisions, but I mean, yeah. On the same stroke, I mean, great art is good business. It really is. It may take a while to realize, but...
It's positive, man. I mean, it like I said, it was a great thing, and we're all very happy.
So yeah, congratulations to everyone nominated and just everyone involved. Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah, especially to Jarrett and Jeff and it was Ian McDonald is the director that got nominated for episode 6. So congrats to him as well.
Cool.
And other PP news is that they're releasing some new iPhone and Android applications. So
what do they got? The episodes on them and stuff?
No, they got they got like a soundboard. They got the original soundboard, nice, which is already out for the iPhone. And they're coming out with an add-on, I guess you could call it, which is like the Pro version, and it has like a lot. I think it's 150 now, or I don't want to say. I can't remember. I'll link you to a video that you can see Jeff talking about it. And they're also coming out on Android, which is big news because a lot of people wanted it for the Android as well. So that's cool. And
How much do they cost?
They're free, as far as I know. I know the one out for iPhone right now is free.
Cool.
And there's also another application coming out. It's called Boom Headshot, and that's all I'll say for now. It's the Boom Headshot application, and it's going to be pretty cool. And once it gets released, and once I can release some more information about it, we'll let you know. In the meantime, I guess you can keep up with me at joelgardner.com and Twitter/joelgardner. And Derek at DerekSweet.com and Twitter/SweetComedian.
Sweet Comedian, yeah. And you can see the video for the live version of Hey God up there too.
Yeah, well, I'll link all that shit. I'll link some stuff on my site. Anyone can find it there or Derek's. So any shows coming up this week?
I'm going to Medicine Hat, Regina, and Saskatoon next week.
Regina and Saskatoon. That's quite the tour.
Yeah, and then I got to drive back. Oh, yeah, and we have the premiere. We're going to Hell Sundays is coming back next Sunday. So anybody that's in Calgary that wants to come out, September 12th, Balance Lounge, 16th Ave and 14th Street Southwest. We're going to have going to Hell Sundays back. Calgary's only weekly dirty and dark comedy show. The headliner is Jason Fredrickson, who's the guy that you ran into in Joel Mart, as he phrased
it. Oh, nice. Joel Mart.
In Walmart. And we got Jason Fredrickson, and then Brad Muse and Christoph Davidson are the two special guests. So
cool. That'll be a good show.
Yeah. And then all the four 5-min spots are all pros as well. It's 7 pro comics on the show, including me now, I can say. So
nice work. All right, that's all I want to fucking talk about.
Yeah,
a lot less swears in this episode. Did we cut the swears down? I wasn't even paying attention.
Well, let's just fill them in now. So fuck, shit, cunt, dick,
shit, fuck, motherfucker,
bitch,
balls,
Sarah Palin. All right, that's it.
We'll catch you guys later.
And one more question to end this devil's dance. Why is it mostly atheists saying give peace a chance? Hey God. Hey God. Hey God. Thank you very much.